Some of you probably know this about me, and if you don't, I have rheumatoid arthritis, which is a condition where my immune system attacks different parts of my body, my joints, and causes swelling and sometimes great pain. And after I had got diagnosed, the first few years was fine. If it weren't for medication and doctor's visits every 6 months, I wouldn't have even known I had anything. But starting around the fall of 2017, I started to have more frequent flare-ups and different problems with especially my feet and my hands. Sometimes you might see me limping. I bring that up to mention this. For the past couple of weeks, this index finger has not cooperated with me very much. And it's kind of a humbling experience when you're trying to open cereal and you have to use scissors because your hands just aren't cooperating. And you certainly don't need to have rheumatoid arthritis to appreciate this, because you could stub your toe or jam your finger and have the same exact thing happen to you. And you start to realize how important certain parts of your body are that you just never think about, like when your big toe hurts and you're off balance, or the side, or you never knew what a pinky toe did until got rheumatoid arthritis. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read verses 12 through 27. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. Each one of us here is a member of the body of Christ. We are individuals, but we comprise the Lord's body. Verse 13, we're baptized. Regardless of our previous circumstances, we were all baptized into this body. And just as the human body is comprised of many members, so too is the Lord's church. Verses 15 through 20 explains how the different members are necessary for the proper functioning of the body. Not everyone here can fulfill the same responsibility. There is no such thing as a zero-talent Christian. In the church, we all have different talents and abilities. Sometimes we fail to see how what we are doing affects the body. There are things we do, probably as Christians, that we don't even consider as benefiting the body. I know a lot of us say this, and Eddie's fond of it, is that the mere presence of your brothers and sisters in Christ edify you. And as Christians, we just, you know, think, well, where else would we be on Sunday or Wednesday? We would be here with our brethren. So we may take that for granted and overlook the positive effect that has on the congregation. Verses 21 through 24, every member is necessary and has a role. And it should be mentioned here that in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, they are in the midst of discussing spiritual gifts, but in the absence of spiritual gifts, the whole concept of all of us being a member of the body as a whole still applies. But back then, there were those who had spiritual gifts. There were some that didn't have spiritual gifts. Some had different gifts, and as is human nature, they would rank them and see that some were, in their minds, greater, but none is greater because they all contribute to the body as a whole. Verse 25, there should be no schism, no division. There should be unity. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you are perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Verse 26, we are one body, but recognize that we are individuals. If one hurts, we all hurt. If one is honored, we all rejoice with that member. Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Now, when we look at this congregation in this metaphor of the human body, we might think of the eyes, ears, and mind as our elders who are on alert to make sure that they protect us from all forms of false doctrine. They are listening. They are considering the things that are taught. We may look at the teachers and preachers as the voice of the congregation, but all of us have a voice as a Christian in some way to share the gospel with others. And as Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, we are always to be ready to give a defense for the hope that is in us. In Romans 12, verses 4 through 8, it says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. This continues on the same thought as 1 Corinthians 12 of being the one body. And whatever our talents are, we need to use them to the fullest extent of our ability. And as verse 6 says, in proportion to our faith, with all the members working together in unity, we can do great things. We all here have the same goal, and that is to have a home in heaven and to bring as many people with us as we possibly can. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, the ESV renders that shepherds and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Different functions assigned to each of us. Each role is unique in equipping the saints. You know, not everyone responds to the same type of teaching. A Bible class teacher may reach someone in a way that the preacher does not. The preacher may have a relationship with a member that the elders do not. And the guidance and oversight of the elders are different than the previous two. They all have different roles in maintaining this one body. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 7, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of you, each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Now we see oneness and unity throughout the New Testament and throughout the Bible as a whole for God's people. And there is one way to become a member of this body of Christ. When we look in Acts chapter 8, starting around verse 26, we see the Ethiopian eunuch who was studying diligently the word of God, and Philip overtook the chariot. And we see from that passage that he was taught and that he believed in Acts 2. When the people there said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. When we go back to the story of the eunuch, we see that he made the good confession. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he and Philip went down in the water, and they were baptized. He was baptized. Just as Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. That is how you become a member of this body of believers. Also in Acts chapter 8, we read the account of Simon, who saw the apostles giving spiritual gifts to people, and he asked if he could give them money so that he too might have that same power. And when he was rebuked, he repented and he asked them, "Please, would you pray for me that I may not fall into the things that you had mentioned?" And this is where the example for the second half of our invitation comes from. If you need to obey the gospel and become a member of the body of Christ, or if you have some need that your church family can help you with, please come as we stand and sing.